rise for their majesties of Royally Obsessed, the podcast for all things royals.
Stand by! Three cheers for Her Majesty, the Queen!
Welcome back to Royally Obsessed. I'm Roberta.
And I'm Rachel.
And it is time for your weekly update on the royal news you need to know. A couple of royal reminders, as always, before we dive in. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and join our Facebook group at Royally Obsessed. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And also send us a reader email at info@gallerypodcast.com.
Roberta, how was your weekend?
It was good. It was chilly this weekend, and I'm enjoying the fall here in Philadelphia.
Sweater season.
looking forward to Halloween. Actually, Halloween is my dad's birthday, so I just mailed him a care package.
Oh, that's so nice.
I know. I wish we could be together, but of birthday gifts and all of that. And what about you? How was your weekend?
It was good. I feel like it was like errand filled. I feel like we're getting ready to move again to Massachusetts, which is, you know, just for the childcare aspect of things. So, and then we'll be back in Brooklyn. It's just all over the place.
You but, and I've been all over.
All over. We've lived a million lives during this pandemic. But I was going to say that I sort of had this weird experience where, I took some time for myself, which is always a gift. And I went down to Brooklyn Bridge Park in the city. And currently they have their Photoville exhibit, which is an annual exhibit. It's usually a lot more interactive and you go into different booths and things like that to see all the photos. And they had these beautiful displays up that I hadn't had a chance to go and look at yet. And it just made me think of the Hold Still exhibit and how cool it is and what a surprise it was that they really did post all those images around town. One of the gallery exhibits that I did look at was, you know, scenes from around the world and the empty sites that are typically really buzzing, like Times Square during COVID, and how weird it looked, you know, those iconic locations. And so it just like really – I just applaud Kate and all that for – I just kept thinking how cool it is that they did that. And they've been sharing so many updates on that as well on their Instagram.
Of pictures of like the subjects and the photographers next to the actual IRL portraits, which I thought was really cool, and posting those to Instagram. But I want to ask, Rachel, are you sad to leave Brooklyn?
I am so sad to leave Brooklyn. The only way that I can handle this is that I will be back.
I'm like kind of sad for you. I feel like you're sitting in Brooklyn Bridge Park by yourself.
I know. Crying. Eating a bagel.
Right.
Something. Brooklyn-y pizza. Slice of pizza. No, I'm definitely sad. I feel like Brooklyn's like my identity, but I'm excited for childcare more than anything because we're just like drowning. Oh my God. As so many people are. I'm not alone in that. So
wait, also, last question on our personal updates lives. Have you voted yet, Rachel?
So I tried to this past weekend, and the line, I got there 2 hours early and it was like 450 people. So I'm actually going to walk over my absentee ballot and deliver it tomorrow. So that's my big plan. Definitely have a huge plan.
I mailed mine in already and I'm so excited on Tuesday to stick my sticker on my sweater and take a picture with it on.
Yes. Gosh.
I see people when they mail. Oh, I know. Well, when people mail in their ballots, they put their sticker on that day and I'm like waiting till election day. It's really weird that I'm so excited, but I'm like holding on to that sticker.
I love it. It'll be your like, it's important. It's
my
sticker
election day
everything.
Selfie. Yeah. I'm all about it. I'm so prepared for election day.
All right. Well, we can move on from our personal.
Yeah.
As much as everyone cares. Yeah. But we have so much to get excited for in this episode. We are chatting more about the Archewell site, which, as you guys know, we had our little quick update because it broke after we had recorded last week about everything that's going on with that. We have Prince Harry's interview with GQ, which is really interesting, and also a new podcast about climate change from Prince William. So that and so much more coming up.
What the heck? Royals doing podcasts that are not Royally Obsessed. Like, I'm a little like...
We need to start a letter writing campaign.
I guess if they're on a roll, they could come visit us at some point. Like, squeeze us in, guys.
Let's send in a nice note to the Archewell address that was posted.
Yes, because we'll put it on our list. Address. That's so right. Well, of course, every week we cannot go without having our royal refreshment.
And now it's time for the weekly royal cocktail.
So what are you sipping, Rachel?
Cheers. Well, I have a wine glass because I packed all my other...
It is fancy.
I packed all my other
boozy.
Glasses. It's not boozy. It's a little sparkling water today. So there's some bubbles. There's some festivity with the glassware, but...
I'm in the same boat. I am drinking just plain orange juice, not a mimosa, even though it is in a wine glass because...
It's only Tuesday, but it's been a week. So.
I think I need like some emergency because the temperature keeps dropping and it's getting, you know, it's been raining all week. So I'm just kind of like trying to, be good.
Totally.
At least for
we'll bring
bit.
The booze back next week. We just got to
we will.
Get through
we will. I hope. Yeah, I mean, we'll need it for next week. Yeah, probably. But while we're sipping, we received a lovely reader email from Jen. She said, to our regal hostesses, Rachel and Roberta, your recent guest, Rebecca, shared the bond that she and her mom have over the royal family, and it inspired me to share my story as well. My mom and I, like Rebecca, are Midwesterners in the United States and watched the Cambridge wedding with glee from afar. She continues to say, we vowed that when Harry was to marry, that together we would celebrate at the actual event. Fast forward to 2017, as my brother and sister-in-law had just been stationed with the military in Europe. Harry and Meghan also announced their engagement. My mom and I, feeling fortunate that we had the time and means to travel to the UK this time around, were doubly blessed to fit the royal wedding into our trip to visit family. Oh my gosh, so exciting. We joined in the crowd singing God Save the Queen in Great Windsor Park, and we were front row for the Duke and Duchess's carriage ride around the town. It was truly a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I'm beyond thankful for the opportunity you had for that amazing day in Windsor. And she included a bunch of photos, one of her and her, you know, who she's with wearing fascinators that were so chic, but also the carriage pic of Harry and Meghan riding by. They were so close. I just love to see that.
It's so incredible. And I love that this is a bond you share with your mom. I do think that the royal family obsession, if you will, since it's really obsessed, does kind of get passed down. Like, I think that I don't know, I'm trying to instill it in my son currently, who's two.
Well, I definitely talk about it with my mom. I feel like that's something we like bond over. Yeah, a little bit, is like being able to talk about the royals together.
Sure. It's universal.
Yeah.
Somehow. Well, this week in royal history.
And now, this week in royal history.
So a twist a little bit. We wanted to kind of do a look back into how the royals, or do the royals, celebrate Halloween. So this is my little it depends if they celebrate.
Wait, whoa. One more time, Rachel, because
I practice that.
You do that for Finn? Because I feel like he'd love that.
I don't, but I maybe will. Well, because it's interesting, because do the royals celebrate Halloween? There's a lot of scuttlebutt, if you will, that they do in fact celebrate behind closed doors, but they don't publicly celebrate, because it is not, it's an imported holiday for them. So
it's not in the UK usually. They only do it because of Americans bringing it over to them, right?
Exactly. Okay. But according to multiple sources, including Harper's Bazaar, Kate was even spotted last year in 2019 in the Halloween aisle of Sainsbury's, which we know is one of her favorite places to shop, and was even chit-chatting with some of the kids about what they were going to be. So whether or not, I think that the source didn't see what she actually purchased and which costumes. But I mean, her family also runs Party Pieces, and so they play a critical role, I'm sure, in whether or not they participate, because, you know, surely Pippa and Carol are doing something festive.
Well, and I went to the Halloween section of partypieces.com, and they have such chic decorations.
So cute.
I really think that, and it's like actually really kind of affordable too, like for a lot of stuff. So it was like under £3 for like some decorations and stuff. So it's like, oh, that's interesting that there's so much Halloween stuff on their parents' website.
Yeah. And in prior years, you know, we've seen the royals out and about in a costume or two. Kate was pictured in a vampire-esque outfit in 2007. Reminder, that's pre-marriage to William. So different, you know, stakes, I guess.
A vampire, really. Though. That's funny.
Yeah, right? And like Beatrice wore a cat costume complete with a silvery blonde wig, but that was to a UNICEF UK Halloween ball in 2016. So I think that if there's a philanthropic angle, they definitely, I'm sure that they're more apt to participate in the costume wearing,
and
too.
Also, wasn't it a Soho House Halloween party that Harry and Meghan were at in Toronto?
Oh, correct. Yeah.
That actually was where the news broke that they were dating officially. And they were with Eugenie and Jack, I think.
That was according to Omid's book, right?
According to Finding Freedom, they were at a Halloween party when this all happened. So maybe they were dressed up then. But yeah, it seems like they only every so often dress up, and it's for parties and things that are very private, and there's not a lot of, you know, photos taken unless it's like paparazzi or anything like that.
Well, and I did think this was interesting, is that supposedly their lack of participation stems back to a code of conduct that was implemented by Queen Victoria that called for total class and sophistication always. So I mean it wasn't like overtly talking about Halloween, but I think that they really, that's the public image that they put forth, whether or not that means that George and Charlotte and Louis desperately want to get dressed up, and whether or not their friends participate. I just thought it was interesting.
Right. Is that like protocol that's set in stone? Like, probably not. But to take it like a step further, it's like,
it would be kind of goofy, right? If they were out in
Halloween
costumes.
She would be like kind of
costumes.
Not happy if everyone's dressing up all the time. It feels like a little bit too tacky to them. Totally. I love dressing up, so I like am so excited. I don't care how tacky it is.
I know.
Are you guys dressing up for Halloween?
We dressed up as – we did something this past weekend. We're all being pirates because that's what Finn wants to be.
Yeah. You have to practice your arg.
What are you dressing up as?
So if anyone's watched the Netflix show The Witcher, it's kind of like Game of Thrones, but Dave is being Geralt and I'm being Yennefer, which is like a dark sorceress.
Oh my gosh.
So I have this like really intense outfit. It's really out there, but it'll be fun.
And well, I know from past Halloweens in person, your costumes are always above. I always think of your Stranger Things costume at the office. It was incredible.
I was 11 with the nosebleed and the Eggo waffles.
No detail left unturned, yeah.
And it was a real box of like Eggo waffles that was in my fridge. So it was frozen and like melting all day. It was kind of terrible.
That part. That's so funny.
Yeah.
But I do.
No, I love costumes.
I mean, yeah. But I do wonder, you know, talking about Meghan and Harry, I wonder if Archie will participate even privately this year just because he's now in America. And it's definitely something clearly Meghan grew up with as a, you know, I always feel like Halloween is so huge, especially in New York, actually. But I'm across everywhere in the country.
Yeah.
Of course, costume parties aren't always a hit. We have to mention, you know, it wasn't a Halloween party, but, you know, Harry dressing as a Nazi was definitely didn't go over well. There's a lot of – in Robert Lacey's book, there's even different messages about what happened there. But, yeah. So, anyways.
Yeah. So, but, like, yeah, very controversial for some of the royals. So, but we'll see. I feel like Archie's age is, like, the pinnacle of cute Halloween costumes, like to be one and a half.
They really
like,
are. Yeah. Oh, can you imagine if we got like an official photo drop of that was him in a Halloween costume? That won't happen, but it would be exciting.
One can only hope. All right. Well, this week in Sussex updates, we have just a couple. So we recorded that cold open last week about the Archewell.com website being revealed on Wednesday. But now that we've had more time to dig in, there are a few things we wanted to point out. First is the meta text. So I don't know if you guys know this, but like in the background of every website build, there's stuff called meta text that kind of is what feeds into Google search and what, you know, is how the website is built in the background of all of the coding and all that stuff. I'm probably doing a terrible job. I'm clearly not an IT person. But
I think you're doing great.
If you share the link of Archewell.com to someone, the message that used to appear was, Archewell is an organization committed to creating compassionate communities online and off to serve our collective well-being. So kind of reiterating what their message was. We know that in April, the Sussexes released that statement. They said before Sussex Royal came the idea of Arche, the Greek word meaning source of action. We connected to this concept for the charitable organization we hope to build one day, and it became the inspiration for our son's name. We look forward to launching Archewell when the time is right. So that time is now. And according to sources recently who are familiar with the matter, the organization is already operating and the work is well underway. So it's not just like, hey, this is the website, but we really, you know, we're still ironing things out. This is like, everything is good to go. They're kind of running full steam ahead. So it's exciting. You and I, Rachel and I both signed up for the emails.
Yeah, I haven't gotten
heard
anything.
Nothing.
I haven't heard nothing
either. I signed up with multiple emails.
Me too. I'm so excited. I really can't wait to see the unveiling of that and sort of, you know, if we'll get an Instagram account, if they'll have more official channels of how they'll, you know, dispense information and sort of updates about what they're doing. I believe we're on the cusp of, maybe it's going to hit in 2021. Who knows? But I'm very excited.
Same. And I think I saw one story that said, like, when you sign up, the email is for you to be alerted to events and, you know, opportunities to get involved with what they're doing. So I think it'll really be kind of like this, like, insidery channel to know what Harry and Meghan are up to. I think
totally.
That'll be great to know.
Well, and I think that truthfully, like in doing this podcast, and I'm sure I'm curious if our listeners feel the same way, but like in all that we talk about, I'm so compelled to participate. So I really hope that there's more of that, like how we on a small level can participate in their efforts if we can't like necessarily give money or things like that. Who knows what the, you know, the range of volunteer opportunities could be if well presented.
Right. Right. The philanthropic angle of it is really is what's exciting. And I think that, it'll be exciting to hear more from them. Also, this week, Prince Harry sat down for a chat with Patrick Hutchinson. He's an activist who was photographed carrying an injured white man who was a counter-protester to safety during a clash between protest groups in London back in June. So they had this conversation for British GQ's Heroes Summit, which is a three-day summit, and took place, as I said, Monday. And so here is a quick clip from that conversation.
Ignorance is no longer an excuse. And unconscious bias, from my understanding, you know, having had the upbringing and the education that I had, I had no idea that what it was. I had no idea it existed. And then, you know, sad as it is to say, it took me many, many years to realize it, especially then living a day or a week in my wife's shoes.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, it's really poignant to, I hate to use the word poignant because it's so overused, but especially by me. But I think to hear that Harry has learned about unconscious bias, seeing it through his wife's eyes, is really impactful to hear him say that. Hutchinson also said to Harry that Princess Diana is such an inspiration to him and has been his whole life, and that his family was a great admirer of her. And he said he loved Princess Diana to bits, which I thought was really sweet. And kind of, it seemed like Harry was really, really touched by that. Because before this call, they were both seemingly strangers, I would assume. So it was kind of nice that they were, you know, talking about her and about Harry's mom. And then at another point, Harry said, "This is a global movement. The train has left the station. If you're not on it now, then get on it, because there's so much that we can do. And being a dad myself, the whole point in life, I guess, for me, is to try to leave the world in a better place than when he found it." So this is, like, to me, so similar to what Prince William's saying about climate change. And I think that doesn't make me think, oh, like, you know, it's like they're ripping off each other. It's more so like it makes me so happy that they're probably listening to each other, is what I hope. I really hope that they are. And, like, you know, hearing each other's, you know, Prince William's TED talk and his podcast, and hearing Prince Harry speak to all these really important people and all these social media and whatever positions, like, I think that it's so nice that they are both kind of trying to create a better world for the ones that come after them. And that seems to be their main goal, is that, like, leaving the world a better place for their children. And I think they share that. So as you know, both as dads, I think that that's an important cause, and they're kind of doing it in different ways, but also, you know, doing it for the same reason.
Well, and I think it's interesting because, I feel like Prince William and Prince Harry's values are the same. And I feel like more and more they're probably going to lead back to having so much common ground to connect over. So in the effort to rebuild their relationship, I think all of this will be really helpful for them to come back together. So
to reconnect. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Moving on, a couple of Cambridge updates that we have, a few actually. So as we mentioned, more podcasts. it's a little crazy how many podcasts, but I am loving it. The Duke of Cambridge actually popped by the Outrage and Optimism show last week, which I love that name, by the way. Same. I did a little digging. It's one of the most popular climate change podcasts, and former guests include David Attenborough and Jane Goodall. So I feel like it's definitely on the Royals' radar, you know, for many reasons. It just makes sense. They maybe were recommended to participate. Who knows? But William shares on the show why he's particularly optimistic about the Earthshot and his efforts, and why he really believes that it's possible, and also outraged about our collective efforts towards climate change and why we haven't done more already. So we're going to play a clip from that episode.
The vast majority of people, if they're presented with the science and the facts, they want to do the right thing. No one wants to do the wrong thing. Mm. And I think you've got to give people the opportunity to see the potential and the way forwards. I get outraged by the inaction, and that's probably a bit of a cliche, but that is what I get most troubled about, especially as I'm in a position of responsibility, if you like, or leadership. I feel I can do a lot more if given that ability. And so therefore, I don't understand why those who have the levers don't.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really upsets me and keeps me awake at night.
So anyways, I just think hearing him say that, you know, he just notices and recognizes the fact that he is truly in a leadership position, and instead of being around and saying, you know, he's definitely frustrated by other leaders not stepping up when we know how great this need is to repair our planet. So it's, you know, I think the more we hear him talk about this, it's just he's everywhere, just bringing this, you know, to the forefront. So,
oh, I was going to say a call to action for people around the world, that I feel like today we just saw, I think Japan announced that by 2050, they would cut carbon emissions. And so I think like it's inspiring now. And I hope that William's call to action doesn't fall on deaf ears and it, you know, it's heard by, because I feel a little bit like, you know, there are small things we can do, but I don't have the platform that, you know, some change makers have. So I think that it's exciting to hear him kind of call out leaders and say like, we all need to do something.
Absolutely. And it is interesting because I think that this maybe is the theme of our episode, but I did spend some time on the Earthshot website in preparation for today. And I would love to see more like, okay, on a small scale, like, yes, we're looking for the leaders in this, the ones that are going to get the $1.5 million awards, like 10 a year, five a year. But I want to also know like, what can I, Rachel Bowie, do on a daily level? Not in terms of like cutting plastic for my life. I know the like basic things, but how can I ladder up to Earthshot's goals? Can I help in any way? Because I think that participation and interest is for sure there.
Yeah.
So anyways, but I do love that he's popping up everywhere. And this is also all part of the promotion for the first round of nominations for the Earthshot, which begin on November 1st.
So
we're
going to
start hearing the kind of initiatives that people have. And then one other detail I wanted to point out is the host, Christiana, at the beginning of the podcast, she literally starts it off saying, how can we address you, by the way? Like, which I feel like is so like it me. Like, I wouldn't, you know, what do you
think? Exactly what we would do if he came on our show.
Yeah. And William,
what is
was like,
his answer?
He was like, any way you want. So, but then he said it's probably customary to say William. So he's definitely a very like affable, likable person. It's
and down more, to earth and just
I think podcasts really lend itself to that, though. You really get a better glimpse of the person. We've seen that with Kate, we've seen that with Harry and Meghan, we've seen that repeatedly with William. It's interesting.
I do feel like Harry and Meghan were like the most natural and the most themselves on the Teenager Therapy podcast. Ugh. And like, even just comparing that to the way they spoke during the Zoom interview with Malala, that it was just like such a different tone of voice when they're in an interview, because they're so good at interviews. I think they're well trained for that kind of thing. But then to hear them on a podcast, it's like welcoming you into their world. So
yeah,
I hope we hear a lot inviting. More. Royals on podcasts will be our platform this year.
and
we will
ours.
Make them come on our show.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But then, you know, more William news. Following in the footsteps of his mom, Diana, he laid a foundation stone at the Royal Marsden's Oak Cancer Center in Sutton, Surrey this week. It's set to be a state-of-the-art research and treatment facility. I thought this was interesting. The plan is that over 400 researchers will work under the same roof as patients in an effort to accelerate cancer treatment plans. I thought that just sounds really innovative and interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
But where it dovetails with Diana is she actually did the same thing 30 years ago, laying a foundation stone for the Chelsea wing of the Royal Marsden Hospital. So it's pretty rare, I think, for the Cambridges to share a picture of Diana on their Instagram feed.
I was so shocked to open my Instagram and see a picture of her from Kensington Royal. Like, it made me feel so so good. I don't know why, inside, just to see like a TBT of them, because I think that that's pretty rare for them to kind of do like a tribute to Diana like on their official page. I'm not sure why they stay away from that kind of stuff, but I love that so much.
It felt really meaningful. And I'm sure for that, like 30 years later, and this is, you know, it seems like the work of this particular hospital group just is really impactful in the UK. So in this center where William laid the foundation stone is set to open in 2022, and he's actually president of the Royal Marsden. So this kicks off the fundraising efforts for that. But I did think it was funny, one thing, the pictures, it's like this foundation stone, it says, it's literally like, Prince William laid this foundation stone is etched on the stone. It's so literal. It just made me laugh because it actually says laid the stone.
It's like you guys kind of like shortened it to like a
title. It could just
title
be his name or something like that. It just seemed kind of funny. But I love the effort. And also, most importantly, William wore a mask. So I think that that's always worth calling out. He wore it outdoors and indoors. It was basically a medical mask. And it was raining, so he had an umbrella, but he did that, which is important because obviously the UK is struggling a lot with COVID numbers lately.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, we're hearing that things are getting, you know, shut down more and more as the days go on. So,
yeah. But one last Cambridge update, and this is on a total lighter note, is that Kate and William are actually hiring a housekeeper for Kensington Palace, and they want it to be someone who's willing to travel, which made me I think they're looking for someone that has the potential to go back and forth, is my guess. But applications are due November 7th. So any UK-based Roros, if you have the experience.
They want to be their housekeeper.
Discretion is required, by the way.
That's a big statement. Is like housekeeper code word for like organize, like you know what I mean? Like you organize their
So I think the job description says, yeah, you're keeping the house. I'm just pulling it up real quick. It's about you'll have an organized approach and take pride in what you do. You'll be able to manage a varied workload. You will be the support of the management of all housekeeping operations and proactively deputize for the senior housekeeper being accountable in their absence. So I do think it's probably a little bit kind of organization.
It's a little more like secretary.
I think it's keeping things clean. Yeah, as well.
Oh, keeping things clean. I'm trying to figure out if I'm qualified for this role. Let me just I just want to know just in case I should apply.
I mean, submit an application. You never know.
It made me think of who's the character. Now I'm just blanking in Downton Abbey. Mrs. Hughes.
That's who I feel like. Oh. Goals. Love her.
This is Hughes. Okay. All right. Well, now, before we adjourn the Royal Pod, here are our highs and lows.
It's time for the Royal Highs and Lows.
So my low this week, Prince Harry issues another media warning. So no. He issued a warning to the Mail on Sunday. So Meghan, obviously, as we know, is gearing up for her court case in January. And we're actually due for an update on the trial this week, by the way. But Harry had to issue a legal warning against the Mail on Sunday because they wrote an article that says he fell out of touch with the British Marines. And one thing we know about Harry is he does not take that role lightly at all, and it's something he's so protective of, and I think it was, I mean, this is just my opinion, but was probably so sad to give up, especially when they had that Mountbatten Festival in March and we saw him in his uniform and they all applauded him and he looked like he was really very emotional. But so the article says he fell out of touch with the Marines, he hasn't spoken to them. Harry's lawyers called the article false and defamatory. So he is kind of putting his foot down and saying this is absolutely not the case. I think someone close to an aide for the Duke said that this is false and he's been in regular contact with military personnel on a personal and private basis. So he's totally
a sore spot. Yeah,
it really is. I think that's like one of his biggest pain points is like him saying, because he, I mean, obviously did two tours in Afghanistan. Like he's very, very like involved. And I think had a really hard time giving up, again, my opinion, but probably it seemed like had a really hard time giving up the captain general. I think that's been confirmed
by a lot of people. Yeah, that was one of the hardest things. And we've read that in a couple of books that I think Robert Lacey's as well.
Yeah, so he's not going to put up with any kind of falsehoods about that. So.
Yeah. Well, my low is kind of personal, but it's mainly like a reprimand for myself that I'm behind on my royal correspondence. Because did anyone see on Instagram the handwritten wedding replies that Beatrice has been sending out to people that sent their well wishes when her and Edo got hitched?
I can't believe she's writing.
She's handwriting the reply. So the Duchess of Wonderland, an Instagram account, shared, first of all, a gorgeous color photograph, the one with all the beautiful florals around the archway of the church of Beatrice and Edo. But then this handwritten note that she is dated July 2020, where she says, "Thank you so much for the wonderful note you so kindly sent us on the occasion of our wedding, the summer at Royal Lodge. Edo and I had a magical day filled with special moments with our families. We are so grateful to all those who have worked hard to protect our communities over the last few months." I'm reading her handwriting. That's the great part about handwriting. You can't totally
read it. Right. Which I like, though.
Yeah. That's kind of nice. She just ends with, "Thank you for thinking of us and as we begin our married life." And I just, it's just a personal, I'm going to get back on track. Got to keep that correspondence up.
Well, also I think like Beatrice handwriting these thank you notes and then also coming back to Twitter in like full force after a year of being off. I like love to hear about Beatrice and Eugenie. So I think that that's super exciting that I'm they're excited. Like yeah. doing so much and kind of back on the scene. Okay. So my high this week was going to be about the Crown cover story by Elizabeth Holmes. We all know and love. Amazing. And it's so good. It's for Town and Country's November cover feature. I loved learning about the preparation that Corin had to do. She had to learn how to embody Diana's spirit animal for some of the training. So Emma Corrin, who plays Diana in The Crown, is said that she thought Diana would be a deer in headlights. But really, this person who she worked with said that Diana is more like a cat, curious, composed, and a bit calculating. Ooh. So I love that. But I have a second high. Don't get mad at me. That
I'm so mad. I just
found out that they're doing a ghost tour of Downton Abbey, where they filmed Downton Abbey on Viking TV. So it's being live streamed on Viking.tv online. And
what does that mean? Like all the ghosts of Downton Abbey?
So I guess like the person who lives there, this is a real home. It's called Highclere Castle.
Yeah.
Lady Carnarvon is inviting everyone into her home, Highclere Castle, on Friday for a live stream and talking about the ghosts of the castle. And so it's all Downton Abbey. I mean, that's where Downton Abbey was filmed. So I just love that. I know. And they're also doing one for the Poldark Chavanage House. So they're doing both of those and talking about the ghosts that live in like the actual filming location. So
spooky.
If you're free on Friday, that is what I will be doing. So
that is so interesting. Please report back. What a good
I
high.
Had to pivot my high because
I'll
I thought
accept
it was so cool.
The double high. Okay. Our producers may not know. I'm just kidding. Finally, my high of the week is a single high, but it's Kate and the Cambridge kids' efforts to celebrate Remembrance Day, which takes place on November 11th. But people in the UK typically in the lead up wear paper poppies to pay tribute to the sacrifices made by war veterans and armed forces members. But Kate and Charlotte and George and Louis, they shared on Instagram, made poppy cakes and dropped them off at a local care home in Norfolk near Amner Hall. So they definitely are in that area right now. And it's all part of the poppy appeal, which is run by the Royal British Legion. But I think for me, I was like, is this my next Pinterest craft? Like, I'm ready to kind of attempt it.
Seriously,
I just can't decide if
the
poppies
crafts from them, they're just amazing. They're so good.
I can't decide if it's like, I think that the poppies are like maybe fondant, which seems a little complex. Like I'm picturing George doing it, but I love when they kind of, you know, I know it's obviously always for a good cause. It's always, you know, in reference to something, to what's going on in the bigger picture. But I love when they do these kinds of crafty
things. But
they
were also like stunning and perfect.
They were perfect.
I would not be able to make those cupcakes. And
just
you especially not with two little kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to do it by myself.
Right. But I'm amazing, amazing work. So just a reminder before we close, leave us a royal rating on Apple Podcasts, a real review from by Miss Retta. She said, I'm royally obsessed. Love the ladies. I never miss an episode. God save the queen.
Oh. Took the words right out of my mouth. God bless
me. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and the Facebook group Royally Obsessed. You can also follow us personally. I'm at Robbie Frito.
And I'm at RKBNYC.
If you are curious about the Witcher costumes or the pirate family costumes, you can definitely check us out. And drop us an email at info@gallerypodcast.com. Till next week.
God save the pod. Always sing-songy for me.
Her Majesties of Royally Obsessed have retired for this episode. God save the pod. And if you fancy the podcast, give Royally Obsessed the royal rating of 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and join our Facebook group, Royally Obsessed. Royally Obsessed is a Gallery Podcast production.